some close to. Yeah.
What was your hardest time in talking to the person that was on my journey to the tower in 15 years?
Well, today I was quoting from mostly Madhumi Samatara, that was verse 3, but at the very beginning I was quoting from Shantideva.
Okay.
Yeah, from Gayatri Bodhisattva's Way, chapter 7. Other questions? Yeah.
I have a question. Still from yesterday, what's the difference between the metta, or the assignment that's generated on the word metta and the other path, that doesn't block into the compassion? Why doesn't it? Because there's great loving kindness there, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're asking what is it in just regular loving kindness that doesn't blossom into great compassion? Okay, so here, this is the difference between, let's say, loving kindness and great loving kindness, compassion and great compassion. Certainly the hearers and solitary realizers, they have love and compassion. They definitely do, you know. In their scriptures, there's, you know, the metta meditation. There's so much talk of metta. Okay? And it's really important. But the difference between love and great love, love is wishing for sentient beings to be happy. Great love is, I'm going to do something about it to bring them happiness. Okay? Regular compassion is wishing sentient beings to be free of suffering. Great compassion is, I'm going to do something to bring this about. So they say it's like the difference between, you know, you're standing on the beach and somebody in the ocean is drowning and you're horrified, you can't stand to see them drown, but you're not going to jump in and save them yourself. Okay, you have compassion, you don't want them to drown, but you don't have enough compassion to jump in, okay, to be actively involved in it. So that's the difference.
And I can imagine it's very gross incrementally as you get further along the path.
The
difference between the two.
Between ordinary compassion and great compassion, yeah. Yeah, and also ordinary compassion, people in the world value compassion, but we usually have love and compassion for the people we like. Okay? We don't have love and compassion for the people we don't like. So this is something that's really important in Buddhist practice, is to have some kind of equanimity and be able to get over our likes and dislikes. Other questions? Yeah.
At the end of the day yesterday, you said that the bodhisattvas, when they embark on the path of seeing, already have some realization of emptiness. Can you talk about why that is? I wondered if it was because of the nature of compassion and the ability to cultivate compassion depending on it.
Okay, so you're asking about the relationship between emptiness and great compassion. Yeah. First of all, on the path of seeing, that's the third path of the Bodhisattva path. At that point, they have the direct realization of emptiness. Before that, they've had an indirect realization of emptiness, a conceptual realization of emptiness. So compassion, the development of compassion, the development of wisdom, realizing emptiness, they can support each other in different ways. Yesterday we were talking about when you have strong compassion for sentient beings and you see that the root of, you know, all of our suffering is the grasping at true existence, then that inspires you to realize the emptiness of true existence so that you can eliminate the defilements on your mind, so that you can help others eliminate the defilements on their mind. Okay, so from that great compassion, then, you know, you have the motivation to meditate on emptiness. Then tomorrow, actually, we're going to talk about a little bit more about the reverse, about how meditating on emptiness helps you develop greater compassion. Okay, I'll give you a little clue. When you meditate on emptiness, okay, then you really see how out of whack our minds are, you know, how completely deluded our minds are, and you see how suffering really isn't necessary. You know, the suffering only comes about because of all this, you know, afflicted, all these afflicted views and emotions. Yeah, and are being swamped by them. So when, through deepening and understanding of emptiness, you understand what the root of cyclic existence is better, and you see that cyclic existence isn't a given, that it's something that arises due to causes and conditions that can be eliminated. But at the same time, you say that you see that sentient beings haven't eliminated those causes and conditions, so there they are, mired in the swamp of samsara, and so your heart goes out to them. You have compassion for them because you see that all their suffering isn't necessary because nothing is inherently existent. Okay? And then tomorrow we'll also talk about how to develop compassion while seeing others as empty of inherent existence. Other questions? Okay, so let's sit quietly for a couple of minutes and we'll dedicate.